You're listening to the New Community Podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope that this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Well, good evening, Palm Valley. How y'all doing tonight? Well, if you don't know me, my name's Andrew, and I am absolutely honored to be with you tonight. Typically, I have the privilege of working over in the West End, primarily with our student ministries, so sixth grade all the way up through our young adult ministries. Most often, I'm leading worship, but I do a little of this, I do a little of that, I do a little of this and that. So you can find me anywhere on any given week or at any given service. Last weekend, I was over in Edinburgh, so shout out to the Edinburgh peeps tonight. But I absolutely love what I do. I'm originally from Kansas. The interesting thing about Kansas is that no matter where you're at in the United States, there's always somebody, just one little woo, my Kansas people, right? They're everywhere. I say I'm from Wichita, Kansas, and 98% of the room says, okay. And the one person in the back goes, woo! So I'm originally from Kansas. I got to Texas as fast as I possibly could, okay? I did. God bless Texas. So I'm here. I love it. I love the valley. I love the valley. I love everything about it. I love the culture. Oh, yes. I love the 115, 118 degree heat. Amen. I love it. You know what? Up north, y'all can keep the cold. I don't want it. I don't want it. I love it here. And so I'm honored to be a part. This is my city. I love to be here. My wife and I, we've chosen to build our home here, to build our life here. And so the church, I've been here for 11 years. Most exactly. Most people look at me and they think, wow, you couldn't have done 11 years of anything. I assure you I have. And I get to do this week in and week out, and it's just an honor. I love this church. This is the greatest church on the planet. I 100% believe that. And so it's just a privilege. It's an honor to be a part of it and to be a part of what God is doing in the Rio Grande Valley. If I could, I'd like to introduce you to my family. This is a picture of my wife and son. So that's Heather. She and I have been married. Sure. I mean, every morning I wake up and I'm like, thank God, right? God chose her for me. She is the absolute perfect partner for my life. Everything about her is awesome, and I am blessed to call her my wife. My son James is 2. And he is every bit of 2 years old. He's ornery, he's rambunctious, and he is cute as all get out. I am just blessed to call him mine. The cool thing about James is that he gets to spend a lot of time with his tia. She's actually sitting right here, so hi, tia. Marissa. He gets to go multiple days out of the week, and he gets to spend a lot of time with her. And the other day, I was playing the Where's Your Nose game, right? If you have kids, grandkids, you've probably played this game at Where's Your Nose, Where's Your Ears, right? And he's just looking at me like I'm insane. Just like, what do you mean, where's my nose? Like, just staring right in my face. And so I kept going. I kept asking multiple times, where's your nose? And a couple times, like, he just laughed at me, like, where's your nose, Dad? So finally it dawned on me, maybe I should try Spanish. And I did, as well as I could. Don't let the name fool you. It's rough. But I try, and I'm trying. And so I said, you know, where's your nose in Spanish? I'm not going to do it in front of all of you because... ¿Dónde está su nariz? And he goes, And I was like, my kid speaks better Spanish than me. And he prefers it. He loves it. Agua, 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 all the time. He loves it. And it's just a joy to be around. My wife, Heather, she's a nurse, and she started her career a few years ago. And a couple years, when she first started, she really wanted to give the best care possible because that's how she is. And in order to do that, she really made an effort to learn Spanish, and at least contextually, so that she could make her patients feel comfortable and at ease. A couple years in, she goes into a patient's room. She's with a coworker, and as she's done multiple times, she introduces herself, and she lets them know that she is going to be their nurse. Now, this particular time, she goes in with a coworker, as she's done many times over the past couple years, and she says, "Hola, me llamo Heather, y yo soy su enferma." Yeah, you got it. Two years. Now, the crazy part is that this was not the first time a Spanish speaker had walked in the room with her. Multiple times over those 2 years, she'd had somebody who I'm sure walked out of that room going... Sometimes things are lost in translation. We lose meaning. We don't quite get the context. We don't really understand what's coming across. Such is the case with Scripture. The Bible, written in Hebrew and Greek, it's coming from a language and a culture that oftentimes we can misinterpret. We can misunderstand. So it's important for us to have this in mind, to look at Scripture in different ways and from different angles. Recently, I was walking outside in flip-flops, as I often do in the hot valley sun, and I was walking through my lawn, and as it happened, I began to feel a couple little stings here and there. Maybe you can relate. And I looked down, and I realized I'm covered in fire ants. So I brushed them off, and I got rid of them. I'm sure this has happened to you many times, as it has to me. And it dawned on me as I was preparing for this week, I don't ever really think about ants until I think about ants. Maybe it interests you to know that there are over 12,000 different ant species. The size of a colony can vary from sizes of 100, just a small little colony, to several million. Interestingly enough, ants can carry 20 times their own body weight. If we contextualize that to us humans, a 250-pound man would be able to lift 5,000 pounds effortlessly. Pretty amazing. The current Guinness Book of World Record holder for the largest colony, it's actually referred to as a super colony, which I think is awesome. It stretches 3,728 miles from Italy to Portugal. It's huge. Ants. You know, the Bible has something to say about ants in Proverbs chapter 6. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest." Tonight, let's go to the ant. Ants live and work in colonies. Ants are one of nature's simplest creatures, and yet they perform some of the most complex activities. They're often referred to as a superorganism. This is defined as an organized society that functions as an organic whole. In simpler terms, the sum is greater than its parts. It's a collective. It's all going toward a greater picture. Ants actually function in such a way that they can accomplish major tasks with very little to actually no direction whatsoever. In fact, there's a common misconception about ants and their colonies that the queen is almost like this big manager sitting up on the top and doling out orders. It couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, the queen's primary role is reproduction, not production. The ants simply know what to do. The worker ant works. Why? Because the worker ant works. The ants who forage, forage. Why? Because they're created, they're designed to forage. There never lacks purpose in an ant's life. This is why Proverbs uses them as an example for how to live. They need no poking, no prodding. They simply function as they were designed to do, for community, for the greater good. There's so many lessons that we can learn from this seemingly innocuous insect, but let's talk about a few. The first is this: the ant teaches us perseverance. The ant teaches us perseverance. Have you ever destroyed an anthill? Now, I don't get any particular sense of joy out of destroying an anthill, other than the satisfaction to know that the next time I walk out in my flip-flops, I'm that much less likely to get bit, right? Most weekends, I mow my lawn and take care of all my landscaping at my house, and pretty much without fail, especially this time of year, what do I see? Anthill after anthill after anthill. Now, I'm going along with the lawnmower and I have a decision to make, right? I can either blow over it and take it out, or get the weed eater and mess it up, and hopefully the next time I come out, it's taken care of. Or I get some sort of chemical, some sort of insect killing chemical, and I take care of business. And I leave satisfied, thinking I've taken care of a problem. I've gotten rid of the ants. But inevitably what happens is the next day, I go outside, I look for the anthill that I've just destroyed, and I think, gotcha, I gotcha. And then I raise my eyes up, there's two more in its place. And two more over here, and two more, they multiply, they're everywhere. They never give up, they simply keep going. Such is the call for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." You see, the goal for those of us who call ourselves Christians is to advance the kingdom of God here on earth. In fact, Jesus says exactly what he wants us to do in Matthew chapter 28. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You see, because if we know our purpose, we can spur one another on in love, because perseverance can best be accomplished within the context of community or the church. What we're doing here, gathering together, joining in community of faith. I love how Paul encourages us in this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Close the book, it's done. This is how we should live. This is the mindset we should have as Christ followers, that I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The ant teaches us perseverance. The ant also teaches us tenacity. Tenacity. I love this word. Now, you may be thinking, perseverance, tenacity, isn't that the same thing? Not really. In fact, tenacity can best be defined, and I love this definition of it, as being not easy to pull apart. Not easy to pull apart. I love that. What a picture this gives us. Now, there are certain species of ants who, when calamity comes, when adversity shows up, when there's a flood, or they've lost access to food, to water, they can actually build a bridge. Not with stuff, with their very bodies. They make this collective bridge to span the gap to get to what they need to get to. There can be thousands and thousands of ants within this thing, and the others are going back and forth. They're getting access to the water, to the food, to whatever they need access to. And it's a powerful picture of tenacity because it's hard to pull that apart. They bind themselves so closely together that they can't be pulled apart simply and easily. I think tenacity comes with learning who we are in Christ. We have to be vigilant of the voices that we're allowing to come into our life. It can be so easy to be pulled apart if we're hearing negativity from the movies we watch, from the TV shows we take in, the music we listen to, the people we allow to speak to us, all the different activities that we're involved in. If they're not building us up, odds are they're pulling us apart. They're pulling us in different directions from here to there. Building tenacity says, I have to have the right people around me, the right people to speak into my life. I've seen this firsthand in my own life. 2 years ago, James was born, almost to the day, June 5th. And everything was awesome. Everything about the pregnancy was perfect. There was never a problem. There was this one visit where the doctor came in and said, I see something with the kidneys. It's usually not a big deal. I've seen it thousands. She probably didn't say thousands, but sometimes I exaggerate. Millions of times. It's probably not a big deal. Get it checked once he's here. Okay. I know nothing. So I was like, okay. And I just kind of looked at Heather. She was like, and I was like, cool. If you're good, I'm good. So rest of the pregnancy was great. He shows up, and it was awesome. The coolest thing about his birth was that we had no clue what gender. We had no idea. And everybody told us. They're like, no, you guys know. You're just holding it back. And he said, we legitimately did not know. We had no idea until he showed up, and I found out he was a he. It was the coolest moment, guys. It was awesome. It was awesome. One of the true highlights in my life was that experience with him. And so he shows up. He's perfect. He's wonderful, right? Everything that a new dad and a new mom think about their baby. So we had him late at night. The next day, the doctor comes in to discharge us, and Heather remembers. She said, oh, we need to do this other ultrasound to check this thing out. They said, cool. So about an hour later, hour or so later, they go, they take him back, and they're going to go and check his kidneys and see what's up. And, you know, we're tired. It's the first night. Okay. So we're like, nap time, woo. They come back, and they say, well, actually, your son is very sick. Your son actually has a problem with his kidneys. And in that moment, everything for me changed. We went from a perfect, healthy, vibrant kid to now we have an issue. And everything changed. The short version is he had a blockage in his urinary tract, and that was causing strain on the kidneys, which is really, really bad. I didn't fully understand at the time. I know everything there is to know about it now, but it was bad, and it could be dangerous. And the biggest thing that we were worried about were infections, because if you can't eliminate the waste, it stays there, and it's that much easier to get infected. And so from that moment, I lived my life in fear. I lived my life scared of what was to come, of what could be. And I wish that I could tell you that I was a man of faith, that I was strong and powerful, and I stood up and I said, no, he's healed in the name of Jesus, but I didn't. I was scared. And for many, many months, I lived my life in terror. There was even a portion in there where I was taking his temperature, like every hour, just almost obsessively. Does he have a temperature? If he gets a temperature, he has an infection, and we have to go to the hospital. Really bad. He ultimately had surgeries to correct the problem, and it began the journey of healing. But it wasn't until he was about 9 months old. Rick actually called us to his office and said, I'd like to pray for James with you guys. And so we brought him up, and I was still in this cycle of fear of just, oh, what's gonna happen? And he brought us up, and he began to pray bold prayers, powerful prayers over my son and over our family. And in that moment, everything broke. Everything changed in my heart, but not because I was praying the prayers, because I had the right people speaking into my life. Because I had the right people to come in and be courage for me. I needed that. That's how tenacity is built. Having the people around you to speak into your life so that you're not easy to pull apart. You're not hearing voices from over here, negativity from there. You're hearing the right voices. You're intentional about who you let speak into your life. I love the saying, who and what you listen to will affect what you do. It's not if, it's not maybe, it absolutely will affect what you do. When Rick began to pray for us, he was modeling faith. He was modeling courage for our lives that allowed me to say, okay. And I rose up and I said, you're right. This is right. This is faith. This is scripture. And this is powerful in my own life. It was because the right person, the right people were speaking into my life. The ant teaches us tenacity. The third thing is that the ant teaches us priorities. The ant teaches us about priorities. You see, ants don't have an agenda. They're not in some side room having a conversation, a meeting after the meeting, like, hey, we got to take out this queen. She's kind of sketchy. It doesn't happen with ants. Ants are singular in their purpose. They each have a role. They play their part, and they do their job. In our lives, we have to put Christ at the forefront of all we do. Everything else comes after that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I love this verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. What's all these things? All these things. Everything. Everything else comes second. If we put God first in our lives, everything else comes second. This means in every business decision we make, God's first. It's not like, well, that's gonna cut into my profit. No, God is first. It's about the priorities that we set. In our relationships, with our kids, with our spouse, God first, and everything else will be added to you. It changes things when we have this perspective. This is what the kingdom of God is about. God first, everything else. If we put him first, he can help us to change. I love what Romans chapter 12 says. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. How does it happen? Automatically. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, when we put him first, everything else happens naturally. You change as a byproduct of Jesus living in you. The Holy Spirit, we just sang about him a minute ago, working in your heart. It happens naturally. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. The ants teach us about priorities. And finally, the ants teach us to start. You see, ants seem small and insignificant. But if left alone, they can create amazing structures like this. Powerful, huge, connected, amazing. These tiny insects create that. It's amazing. And they're seemingly indestructible because they don't allow failure, loss, or disaster to stop them. They get back up and they start again. They don't sit around and say, oh, maybe I'll start tomorrow to build the column. No, you've seen it a dozen times. When you run over them with the mower, what do? They just move on. Everything is happening all at once and they're building it and they're building it and they're taking stuff from this one and they're moving it over here. They're like, who's that guy? And they're remaking. This guy keeps doing it. We're gonna go into his kitchen. True story. They get back up and they start again. Why? Because every moment of every day is a small step in a greater picture for an ant. They diligently work toward the collective goal of the colony to accomplish what must be done. This is a picture of community. This is how we're called to live. So if we go to the ant, we see the lessons he teaches us. What's the immediate application to our lives? How do we apply it today? Well, start today and then be consistent. Start now. What are we waiting for? It's so simple, yet so powerful. Start now. You've heard it said, there's no time like the present. The best time to start is today. And a lot of us just kind of roll our eyes. But it's true. Don't start the diet on Monday. Start it today. I know. I'm sorry. I know. Don't start to add exercise into your life tomorrow. Do it now. Just get up and go do something. Start today. Immediately. What are you waiting for? Maybe you're facing something you never thought you would have to face. Stay the course and persevere. You may feel like there's so many different things pulling for your attention. Like the ant, we have to learn to be tenacious. Not so easily pulled apart, but standing firm on the promises of God. Now, this may mean taking an inward look at our own lives, and asking, am I putting God first in my life? Is it all about him in my life, or is there something else? Am I making a conscious effort to have the right voices speak? In answering this question, it's an absolute game changer to get the right people around you, a community of faith to encourage you, to inspire you, to make it so you are not so easy to pull apart. Proverbs chapter 6, let's go back to it. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Some of you may have heard of the leafcutter ant. Some of you may have leaf cutter ants. And the interesting thing about this ant, small as it is, in a night, it's able to strip an entire tree in a single night. Why is the leaf cutter ant able to strip an entire tree in a night? How is a leaf cutter ant able to strip an entire tree? One ant at a time, one leaf at a time. How we live matters. What we do with our time matters. You may feel like that sluggard in Proverbs. I need to do this, I need to do that. That's okay. You can make a change today. You can start now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait until everything is right, until you're firing on all cylinders. The coolest thing about life with Jesus is that you can start today, where you're at, where he finds you. Don't wait for something to change around you, but like the ant, endeavor to rise above every situation and passionately pursue Christ in order to see his kingdom come here on earth.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.